Jetzt wird gewählt.
Just yet, da voli.
Und mein Lieblingsheim.
Es ist hora de votar.
It's voting time.
In recent months, all farmers have taken to the streets to express their discontent and unease about their way of life and the future of European agriculture. In addition to hard work and virtually no holidays, the living conditions of many of them, especially small farmers, are often difficult, and they are not properly compensated for the fruits of their labor. Their list of grievances is long, and they are crying out for help. Welcome back. In this episode, our journalists have met with farmers and experts in the field, quite literally, in a dozen countries across the bloc, to try to understand why farmers all across the EU feel so aggrieved and what the EU might be able to do for them.
We farmers have less and less say. Even when it comes to our own work, nobody seeks our views. Everybody just does their own thing, as they see fit. I think this is also why we have problems finding young farmers to take over. There are fewer and fewer of them. You can get a job for much better money anywhere else. You have holidays off, you have weekends off, and that is not the case here. Young farm owners are becoming more and more aware of this.
Few would argue with Slovenian farmer Andrej Pernat, whose comments are shared by RTV Slovenia. Farmers do indeed have a tough life, which explains why so many of us are sympathetic to their cause. In 2020, there were 9.1 million farms in the European Union, covering around 38% of the bloc's land. Some two-thirds of these farms were less than 5 hectares in size, yet the growing trend is towards fewer and larger farms. Of course, European agriculture is very diverse, not only in terms of farm size, but of geology and topography, climate and vulnerabilities, management philosophy between the traditional and the more modern, and even type of production. It is clear that an organic French wine producer, a large Danish pork producer, and a traditional Greek olive grower face radically different situation. But what common issues are our farmers facing? Tommaso Battista, president of COPAGRI, the Italian Association of Agricultural Producers, gives Giulia from Radio 24 his top five.
Innanzitutto il mancato giusto riconoscimento del prezzo del prodotto.
First of all, the lack of fair product pricing is certainly the biggest problem, one that obviously does not allow a company to be profitable. So much so, in fact, that in the last 10 years, many companies have closed down. We have also seen land being abandoned in some areas of our country. Then there is excessive bureaucratization, and at the European level, there is the problem of limiting agrochemicals, which are improperly referred to as pesticides. Pesticides have not been in use for many years now. Plus, the CAPI is no longer a support for farmers. It is basically a disgrace, because in order to obtain a contribution from the CAP, you have to wade through such a complex bureaucratic process that many in 2023 have given up. For example, on applying for the implementation of eco-schemes. And last but not least, climate change. Here the important thing, as we at COPAGRI have always maintained, is that if agriculture is not seen as the main player in climate change mitigation, there will be many problems.
Francisco Palma, president of a farmers' association in southern Portugal, paints a similar picture in an interview with Hugo, our colleague at Radio Renascença.
Tivemos duas situações, o contexto da guerra da Ucrânia, o problema do Covid.
We've had the context of the war in Ukraine. There's the problem of COVID and the general increase in the price of raw materials, particularly in what matters most to agriculture, namely the price of energy, whether fertilizers or agricultural diesel, and everything else related to transport. All of this has meant that production costs for European and national farmers have shot up. At the same time, we don't see the price of our products, what we produce, increasing by the same amount. On the contrary, we have a problem in that we are receiving low-priced imports from countries outside the European Union, places with completely different economic and social contexts, and our production is not being defended by the European Union nor by its member states.
And on the other side of Europe, István Jakab, president of a Hungarian Farmers Association, explains to Gabor that this final point, in particular, is the reason why he has recently taken to the street in protest.
The European Commission is imposing a heavy burden on farmers, imposing sky-high standards, and at the same time flooding us with unchecked, poor-quality food from third countries, even containing substances that are harmful to human health. This is the situation today. And instead of deciding to restrict shipments from Ukraine to the EU, the Commission has made explicit and vigorous efforts to start accession negotiations with Ukraine and to grant full duty-free access for all raw materials and food products. This is what took us to the border. This is why we are saying, enough is enough.
The recently signed but not yet ratified trade agreement with Mercosur, a free trade organization in Latin America that includes major agricultural producers, Argentina and Brazil, has not helped ease tension on this side of the Atlantic. Fair remuneration for agricultural products is, of course, of the utmost importance, especially for the livelihood of small and medium-sized farmers. Romanian farmer and protester Alexander Degianski expands on Palma's point about the reduced economic viability of the farming profession.
The farmer's main problem is an economic one, caused by the difference between input costs and sales prices. While in 2022 we may have had low input costs, high sales prices, and healthy profits, these were negatively offset by high input costs and much lower sales prices in 2023. This resulted in big losses. Losses that basically cancelled out any gains from 2022. The problem is that 2024 also promises low grain prices, and input costs have not fallen in line with this. Also, if we take a realistic look at inflation in agriculture, from 2019 until today, input inflation has been at 40-45%, while sales prices have remained at 2019 levels. So we can safely say that we are facing a huge drop in farm profitability.
So, money is tight for grain producers, that's for sure. Not only have the prices of raw materials and energy increased, but there are also many intermediaries from farm to fork, including transporters, processors and retailers, each of whom takes a slice of the ever slimmer profits. Small and medium-sized farmers generally do not cooperate enough and do not have enough clout to gain sufficient market power to dictate better prices, influence supply chain negotiations and defend themselves against exploitative practices. This is a problem that is difficult to solve, explained Ivo Grić, a professor at the Faculty of Agriculture in Zagreb, in an interview with Croatian journalist Dražen.
We still haven't solved either the problem of horizontal business connections between producers through cooperatives or that of vertical connections from production through processing to the market.
Hence, most farmers cannot do without the subsidies provided by the EU's flagship Common Agricultural Policy, affectionately known as the CAP, which was designed to support farmers and ensure Europe's food security. Or so Madis Kallas, the Estonian Minister of Regional Affairs and Agriculture, tells our colleague Mart at Kuku Radio.
At the moment, it's not realistic. Even if we in Europe were to end the common agricultural policy measures and interventions, we know what other regions are doing. Take America, take China. Similar support mechanisms exist in every region,
and if for some reason a region stops supporting its sectors, this leads to a very clear decline in competitiveness. Given this, since we have already chosen this model, and the rest of the world has essentially chosen it as well, then we have no choice but to continue with it, at least for the time being. But in the future, even farmers themselves say, at least Estonian farmers say, that if support payments were to be stopped across the board in Europe, then we would agree with that. I think there are very clear reasons for this. Looking at area-based payments and various other subsidies, Estonian farmers are not at the forefront when it comes to the amount of support they receive.
In fact, for many small farmers, the cap is sometimes more of a problem than a solution. In fact, the policy has been criticized for favoring large farms to the detriment of smaller ones. Traditionally, cap subsidies were allocated on the basis of the amount of land owned or used for farming. This meant that larger farms received more money, and this, combined with economies of scale, allowed them to produce more cheaply than small farms. Over recent years, the European Commission has attempted to address these problems by placing a greater emphasis on environmental sustainability and rural development, in line with the so-called farm-to-fork strategy. This initiative, part of the EU's Green Deal, aims to promote sustainability in agriculture and food. But the devil is in the detail. Eco-schemes are a good example of what has failed to deliver for many farmers, as Copagri President Tommaso Battista mentioned earlier. Their aim is to encourage and reward farmers who voluntarily adopt farming practices that have a positive impact on the environment or the climate. Organic farming, conservation tillage or agroforestry, for instance. National governments decide how CAP funds are used in a given country, including for eco-schemes. But because of the complex administrative, technical and monitoring requirements, many national governments have failed to make these schemes easily accessible to farmers, especially those with limited resources. Violeta Orejarczyk, a Polish organic farmer and CAP expert, tells Polskie Radio's Michał that while she fully supports many of the underlying principles of the EU's agriculture policy, there are too many bureaucratic hoops for farmers, particularly small-scale ones, to jump through.
The bureaucratization of the common agricultural policy must change. Farmers often have no time left to grow food because there are so many requirements that are very difficult to understand and comply with.
In an interview with Jonia Žiniūraitis, Mindaugas Maciulevičius, chair of one of Lithuania's regional farmers' unions, backs this argument. He highlights that a series of EU reforms in the agricultural sector have compelled small and medium-scale farmers to act as quasi-accountants.
With each reform, the burden increases as more journals need completing and new procedures emerge. Farmers find themselves transformed into accountants, with less time spent on the tractor and more on administrative tasks, leading to heightened stress level. It's also essential to recognize that errors have consequences, often resulting in financial repercussions, as evidenced by numerous cases in Lithuania. In the fact of these challenges, the proposed solutions seem inadequate.
And we must be careful not to deter small farmers, as they offer significant social and environmental benefits, adds Nikola Genov, chair of the Hrankop Sofia Cooperative in Bulgaria. He's talking to Radoslav from BNR.
As we say, less is more. 100 on 10-acre farms makes 1,000 acres, but those 100 farms will produce 10 times as much, if not more, than a farmer cultivating 1,000 acres of grain, corn, a single crop. And those 100 farms will in fact have produced not only food, but labor and stability in their regions. They will have improved the soil, they will have promoted the growth of a lot of other plant species nearby, because small farms take care of the whole local ecosystem. They are home to bees, domestic animals, and so on. So per unit area, the benefits are much greater the more smallholders there are.
Es hora de votar.
So what are farmers really expecting from the EU? Well, first and foremost, they want clarity and simplification. Expert in the non-governmental agriculture sector, Walter Zerst, tells Latvia's radio journalist Rui Hartz.
Farmers expect one thing, and that is clarity. This is what we believe has been missing in the EU in recent years, because very ambitious goals are set on the one hand, but no tools are provided to achieve these goals.
Zelts is also quick to stress that farmers are not simply being obstructive, but at a constructive dialogue that welcomes a bottom-up contribution by farmers is required if Brussels is to win them around.
It is often presented that farmers are against European demands, but it's not like that at all. It's complicated. There are requirements that farmers have absolutely no objection to. For example, on crop diversification, where farmers see an environmental, climate or economic justification, they are happy to implement them, but they naturally start to rebel against any that are clearly illogical.
And of course, no development can really be considered sustainable if it does not allow people to make a living, adds Geneviève Pons, Director General and Vice President of Europe Jacques Delors in Brussels, in an interview by Euradio.
I think we need to return, both in discourse and in practice, to something more balanced by systematically integrating the three components of sustainable development: the economic, the social, and the environmental. To put it more simply, you can't ask a farmer to go organic if there's no money in it.
As for imports from outside the bloc, Europe's farmers are calling for a level playing field in terms of quality requirements and work chain. Most of them don't believe that our standards should be lowered, says Stoilko Apostolov, manager of a Bulgarian Organic Agriculture Foundation, but rather that the EU should set an example for the rest of the world to follow.
Farmers will ultimately have to comply with a lot more requirements than we are faced with now, a lot more green requirements. So we have to make the model work, because the rest of the world is usually inspired by the EU, copies the EU. I can give you an example relating to organic production. When we gather at a World Congress of organic producers, including from the USA, from developed countries, they are extremely motivated by what the EU is doing and very often set an example on their return to their countries. Look at what the European Commission is doing for organic farming. Let's do it here. Europe is leading the way. Right now it is at the forefront of organic farming and environmental policies in agriculture. This ambition must continue, not be held back.
Simple solutions to complex problems exist only in the manifestos of populist parties, which clearly stand to benefit from the wrath of European farmers. But as we have seen, most farmers are not opposed to European quality and environmental standards per se. Instead, they are asking to be better heard and better supported in their efforts to juggle their many and varied roles, ensuring the safety, security and sustainability of food production, rural development, climate change mitigation and adaptation, biodiversity conservation, technology adoption, and the list goes on. Europe must listen carefully to these farmers, cautions EU political observer Geneviève Pons, as the current model is not sustainable in any sense of the word.
We have to look at all these issues and try together to come up with a reform of the Common Agricultural Policy, the CAP, the one that will apply from 2028, with all the challenges that we must face together. Climate change, of course, of which farmers are the primary victims. I think we have to draw the conclusion that the current model is not sustainable, neither environmentally nor socially, so we need to rethink it.
National and European politicians have intensified their dialogue with the agricultural sector in recent weeks and months. But consumers also have a role to play, particularly in terms of being willing to spend a bit more to support our homegrown farmers, ensure quality, and ease our collective green conscience.